They call it the third rail of American politics. Touch it and you die. We're talking about Medicare and Social Security and the powerful interests that want to keep those programs as they are. Tuesday night at the State of the Union, President Biden accused Republicans of wanting to sunset those programs, prompting boos and catcalls from Republicans.
It's where we want to start our Friday Politics Roundtable. Mark Caputo is a national political reporter based in Florida. Hi, Mark.
Hey, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. And Jesse Holland is an opinion columnist at MSNBC and guest host on C-SPAN. Jesse, hello.
Hi, how are you today?
Doing well. So President Biden chose Florida as the place to drive home his State of the Union message about Republicans' longstanding dislike of big-ticket social welfare programs like Social Security.
Their dream is to cut Social Security and Medicare. Well, let me say this. If that's your dream, I'm your nightmare.
So, Jesse, Biden's team was actually handing out copies of a plan by Florida Senator Rick Scott to end all federal programs after 5 years unless Congress renews them. Medicare and Social Security were created by Congress. Has Biden been loving this fight with Republicans?
Because it's a great fight for President Biden and Democrats. Keep in mind, Republican voters are becoming older every year. The demographic that votes Republican is the demographic that uses Social Security and Medicare, and they are the ones who care the most about Social Security and Medicare cuts. He's hitting the Republican Party where they live. And when we talk about Florida, what do we think about? We think about retirees. We also think about the fact that Florida Governor Ron DeSantis is possibly a challenger to President Biden in the next presidential election. This is masterful politics from the White House. He's hitting a potential rival in the future. He's hitting the Republican voters where they live, and he's providing them proof that their own representatives, their senators, are the ones trying to touch this third rail. This is a masterful first shot from the White House for President Biden's possible reelection.
Mark, you are in Florida. How is this debate going down with seniors there?
I mean, everything that was just said is completely right. If you're going to message about Medicare and the importance of protecting that, Medicaid and Social Security, Florida's your state. It's also your state because Rick Scott is running for re-election this cycle. And he did produce that plan talking about sunsetting all government programs. He didn't say there's a carve-out for Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security. That having been said, you know, we in Florida have heard this time and time and time again. There's not one election cycle where the Democrats don't seemingly accuse the Republicans of this. Not always effective here. I think the last time it was truly effective or credited with being so is in 1994, when then Governor Lawton Chiles, running for re-election, used a quote unquote meta scare to attack then challenger Jeb Bush, who lost. Bush then subsequently won the governor's mansion in 1998, and Republicans have occupied it or won them ever since. So, you know, there's a limited amount of salience it has here, but the reality is this is a president looking at re-election. He is still coming to a large battleground state, and he's still going on offense. And tactically speaking, if you can go on offense, if you can force your opponent to explain himself, as they say in politics, when you're explaining, you're losing. So that gives Biden the upper hand in this.
Yeah. And he kind of has been doing that because Rick Scott did give his version of the bill and what it means for social welfare programs. Here he is on Fox News yesterday.
I don't know one Republican that wants to reduce Social Security or Medicare benefits. We want to preserve them. And that's why we've got to figure out how we get a balanced budget here. Okay. And I'm going to fight like hell to do that.
Okay, so Mark, for those who are now confused by all the rhetoric, where do Republicans actually stand on Medicare and Social Security?
I mean, it probably stands where Rick Scott said it did. But the problem is that Rick Scott wasn't very clear. He released his 11-point plan, it turned into a 12-point plan, but he didn't specifically say, we're going to protect these programs and carve them out of the sunset provision. And so as a result, he has to engage in these various mental gymnastics of saying, oh, yes, I said we're going to sunset everything, but we're not going to sunset these things. Well, why don't you just put that in your plan to start with? And he's never really answered that.
So, Jesse, there is, of course, a budget reality in the middle of all this. The Medicare hospital insurance program will not be able to cover all of its costs in about 5 years. Same is true for Social Security in about a decade. Do you hear any signal that lawmakers will actually do something?
Well, this is Washington, D.C., so the reality is that politicians, especially in Congress, will not act until the wolves are at the door, because everyone has their own personal spin on how to solve the problem. Anyone who's been paying attention should know that Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security are in trouble. The amount of money coming in does not equal the amount of money coming out. So they're going to be in a deficit sooner or later, most likely sooner than later. Congress is going to have to do something, but until they face the last second, oh my God, people are not going to get their Social Security checks. Oh my God, people are going to go to the doctors and not going to be able to afford their medicine or pay their bills. It's unlikely Congress is going to move to do anything. The Congress we have now, the Congress we've had for the last two decades, only acts when it sees the absolute end emergency. So unless something radically changes, I don't see Congress moving any plan through until the very last second.
Okay, well, let's change a little focus, staying in Florida, though, because it feels like, and boy, do I hate saying this, but we're already looking at a 24 presidential campaign going on there in Florida. Biden took aim at Governor Ron DeSantis as a potential 2024 presidential rival.
Over 1.1 million people in Florida would be eligible for Medicaid if Governor DeSantis just said, I agree to expand it.
I mean, it feels like we just only came out of the midterms, but 2024 is already up there. I mean, I have to ask you, Jesse, you know, he focuses on DeSantis, but not so much on that other Florida resident who once lived in the White House, Donald Trump.
Well, of course, Florida is where Democrats are going to hit for a while, because you have two major candidates living in that state right now, Governor Ron DeSantis and former President Donald Trump. This right now, Florida is the center of the Republican nomination for president. If Democrats can pick off some of those seniors in Florida, then that would make it a lot easier for President Biden to win re-election. I mean, keep in mind, President Biden hasn't actually announced yet that he's running, but he's doing everything that a candidate, a presidential candidate, should be doing if he's preparing to run again. So Florida is the place. If Democrats can pick off Florida, if Republicans can't win Florida, the presidential race is likely already over. If you can't get Deep South Republicans to vote for the Republican candidate like the Republicans in Florida, Democrats are going to win. That's why Democrats are there right now fighting for the 2024 presidential election.
And speaking of Governor DeSantis, this week he took aim at Joe Biden.
I spend my time delivering results for the people of Florida and fighting against Joe Biden. That's how I spend my time.
Mark, for those not following Ron DeSantis, the governor, what is his kind of political momentum right now?
I mean, very good. If you look at the polling just nationally and in some states, in head-to-head matchups, he's starting to pull ahead of Donald Trump. The thing is it's probably not going to be a head-to-head matchup in a primary. So depends on who gets in, how many other candidates there are, how much it diffuses that non-Trump vote in a Republican primary. In state polling, the limited amount that I've seen so far, DeSantis is more popular than Joe Biden. But, you know, nationwide, the reality is this. Incumbent presidents have an advantage. And, you know, we had referenced the State of the Union speech that Joe Biden had given before. The optics of him being heckled by Republicans who, according to focus groups and according to some other polling research, shows have a problem with centrist, independent swing voters who are concerned about too much kind of radical, crazy stuff out of Republicans. That is inuring to Biden's benefit as well. So you're going to see with DeSantis if he runs against Trump and if he wins, and those are two big ifs in a primary, how is he going to be able to sort of tack back more toward the middle nationwide in order to win. Now, if you do look at our just finished election here, I do have to point this out. This used to be a swing state. Now it's barely a battleground in Florida.
Mm-hmm.
Ron DeSantis won by nearly 20 percentage points. In 2018, he only won by less than half a percentage point. So he is doing something right as far as elections and as far as support from voters are concerned in Florida. Can he mimic that on a nationwide basis if he's the Republican Party nominee? I don't know. I don't want to predict that. But I wouldn't say to instantly count him out either.
Yeah, long way to go yet. Mark Caputo is a national political reporter. Jesse Holland, opinion columnist and C-SPAN guest host. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.